Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord that we're able to share these next few minutes together as we go into the Word of the Lord. We began at the beginning of this week looking at a scripture found in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4 that talks about the Antichrist who wants to be worshipped. He sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. And as we look at the world around us today, we see signs of that Antichrist spirit everywhere. We know that modern humanism, the deification of God, of man, that we are, is the same lie that the devil used to tempt Adam and Eve, that you shall be as gods. And so self, there's a religion of self, if you will, and one of the primary tasks of the Holy Spirit when someone comes to the Lord and is saved and born again is the removal of self off the throne of the heart and to place Jesus there as Lord, as God, as Creator, and to offer the submission of our will, the submission of our body as a living sacrifice, of all that we are in willing and loving service to Him, because as we grow in understanding, we begin to appreciate the lengths that God went to because He loved us so much. Man was created in His image and likeness. The angels weren't created that way. They're strong in power. They fulfill His word, hearkening under the voice of His word, as the Psalms say. But man was created in His image and likeness to the degree, I don't know that I can fully comprehend all that that means, but we accept it because we are His children. And so God, He's very jealous for our heart. He's a jealous God, as we see portrayed throughout the pages of the Old Testament. Israel was as an unfaithful wife to Him. And so when, as Christians, we allow any area of our life that's not committed and surrendered to the Lord, basically it is self that is sitting on the throne room of the soul, if you will. And it's not long before a habit pattern of carnality becomes the courtier, if you will. That's one who sits in attendance at a royal court. And the actions of this person become rebellious against the things of God. In effect, he's basically saying he knows better than God. Well, Jesus said simply, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the first and greatest commandment is that we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our spirit, all that we are, and our neighbor as ourselves. These two are all the law and the prophets. They're fulfilled if we will do these two things. And until we surrender ourselves unreservedly to the Lord, the battle within our nature goes on for supremacy. The self-life continually fights against God. Paul talked about that. He said, who will deliver me from this body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way, beloved, we can get the victory. We can't do it in any amount of willpower or self-discipline. Those things are important. They're good. But the ultimate victory, because it's a spiritual victory that has to be won. But God will give us victory as we are consecrated and committed and surrendered to Him. until we are willing to do this, there's a constant struggle. And, you know, more than one man who's been victorious on the battlefield of sin, if you will, has gone down to defeat in the inner conflict that comes with the battle against self. Paul continually warns us against giving rein to the carnal nature. He lifts his voice in warning against the unresisted development of self. He states in Romans 12:1, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship." Verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world," because it's just the opposite in terms of the world system, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. "Be not transformed or changed by the entire but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself," that's the important thing, beloved, "what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." If we repudiate or fight against, if you will, scriptural holiness and the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to live the Christian life, eventually people will just give up the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Flesh will resume control. And that's why we are to mortify or to put to death the deeds of the body. And God has given us wonderful grace. He's patient and He's long-suffering. It says the husband has long patience for the precious fruit of the earth. He is very patient. He can identify with our weaknesses, with the temptations, with the trials, with the struggles. But He knows full well if we will surrender our will to God, surrender self, that there is victory promised. It's not a potential. It's not a possibility. It is in fact guaranteed, because the Spirit of the Lord is not a failure. He knows how to get the job done. And we, as Christians, can rest in the assurance that God's great and eternal love, His grace, covers the sins of every believer. We can be sure of that because He knows. I mean, in this fleshly body, we will sin. We won't do it deliberately, but it's just the nature that we are not fully, our full state of redemption will be the redemption of our mortal body when this mortality will put on immortality. But grace, beloved, is not a license for sin. Paul tells us there's more to our salvation. We're to reckon ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God. Many sincere believers have honestly consecrated their lives to the Lord, yet they have never squarely faced the issue of self, of self-judgment, self-condemnation, self-surrender in the revealed light of God's Word. It says in Scripture, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's why many times we experience the chastening of the Lord, because the Lord is drawing us back to get on track, to begin to do the things that are pleasing to Him. Consider for a moment, if you will, the Antichrist sitting in that temple. Imagine his audacity in telling multitudes of people, that churchgoers, if you will, that salvation is not through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, the devil, beloved, lies to multitudes as he usurps the place in the hearts of people by saying salvation comes through character. How often have you heard that expression? Well, yeah, are you going to go to heaven? Well, yeah, I think I will. Of course, I'm a good person. I'm not an evil, wicked person. But our definition of good is not what God's definition is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not, we have to have true repentance and surrender to God. The church has relied on self long enough. You know, we've, so many have, that are falling away, have substituted programs and show business and Hollywood for the power of God. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, Paul goes on to say in those first three verses, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so that ye abound, would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification." And beloved, as we do this, I believe we're going to experience, the church of the living God is going to experience the greatest impartation of His power and anointing that has ever been manifested. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through, or excuse me, the chapter 4, verses 12 through 24, he says that the ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for the perfecting of the saints, so that they can do the work of the ministry. They are to edify the body of Christ till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the measure of a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we won't, and again, here he warns about false teachers, that we won't be as children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or deceitfulness, if you will, or cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Praise God. Beloved, you have a high calling. We have been called as kings and priests unto our God, washed in His blood, as it says in that first chapter of Revelation. And so God is calling us to come up higher, to come into a place where we know that we are surrendered with the best of our ability. And when we fall, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, who ever lives to make intercession for us. So that should give us hope and confidence that we are able to be victorious. If you need help in this area, I invite you to write the Announcer for Shower contact information. I love you and pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.